You're listening to Song Exploder, where musicians take apart their songs and piece by piece tell the story of how they were made. I'm Hrishikesh Hirway. Song Exploder is brought to you by Progressive. Progressive helps you compare direct auto rates from a variety of companies so you can find a great one, even if it's not with them. Quote today at progressive.com to find a rate that works with your budget. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. This week, I wanted to go back and revisit the Björk episode that I made back in 2015, in part because it's one of my favorite episodes, and in part because this fall, in 2022, Björk has a new album coming out, and she also has a new podcast where she talks about the making of each one of her albums in conversation with her collaborators. The show is called Sonic Symbolism. Here's a trailer.
Most of us go through phases in our lives that take roughly 3 years. And it is not a coincidence that this is often how long it takes to make an album, a book, or a film. In the conversations on this podcast, me and my friends try to capture which moods, timbres, and tempos were vibrating during each of my 10 albums. When I get asked about the differences of the music on my records, I find it quickest to use visual shortcuts. That's kind of why my album covers are almost like homemade tarot cards. The image on the front might seem just like a visual moment, but for me, it is simply describing the sound of it. I try to express this with a color palette, the textures of the textiles, with what I'm holding, and the angle of the posture I'm in shows its relationship to the world. Also, the emotion of the mouth tries to share the overall mood of the album. Perhaps you can call this some sort of sonic symbolism. I hope you enjoy it. Warmth, Björk.
The podcast is brought to you by MailChimp Presents and Talkhouse, and the first episodes are already out. You can go subscribe to Sonic Symbolism wherever you get your podcasts. So here's the Song Exploder episode from 2015. When I recorded this interview with Björk, she was in London in a hotel room, and the phone kept getting disconnected. I'd only been doing the podcast for about 18 months, and I was so nervous because she was one of the guests I had dreamed about having on the show. But Björk was really gracious, and she let the interview go long so I could get all my questions in. And it's still one of the biggest highlights in my time doing this show. One other thing before we get into the episode. In it, Björk refers to her collaborator Arca as Alejandro and uses he-him pronouns. But since that time, Arca has changed her name to Alejandra. I asked her about re-airing this interview with her outdated name and pronouns, and she gave me her permission. Okay, here it is.
My name is Björk. And I'm here to talk about Stonemilker on my album Vulnikura.
In January 2015, Björk released Vulnikura. She described it as a complete heartbreak album. And in November, she released Vulnikura Strings, a companion album that stripped away the electronics. In this episode, Björk breaks down the making of both the original version of the song Stonemilker, which you're hearing now, and the strings version, which you'll hear at the end. She traces her writing and recording process, her collaboration with the electronic producer Arca, and why she wanted to make a strings-only version.
You know, the whole song is emotionally about someone who's trying to get emotions out of another person. It's about wanting clarity, wanting simplicity, and talking to someone who wants things to be really complex and foggy and unclear. And you're saying, okay, I've got clarity. So you know, want it or not. So it's like sort of celebrating simplicity and clarity. I was walking on a beach and I was kind of walking back and forth, and the lyrics kind of came along kind of without me really editing them. The strength of this album really is just simplicity and, you know, this kind of like thinking out loud feeling. And I shouldn't be too clever. It would work against it. So I kind of just went with the first words that actually came.
Moments of clarity are so rare. I better document this.
Probably the most obvious lyrics I've ever written. I actually wrote a whole another lyric to the song, which was really maybe a bit too clever for its own good. But something in me just said, no, don't touch it. It has to be like almost clumsy or naive. That's sort of the strength and the weakness of the song at the same time.
I wish to synchronize our feelings, our feelings. Ooh, oh, show some emotion, respect.
Mostly a singer, but I think the way I sing, I usually wait for a day where I'm kind of probably more impulsive than other days in one way or another. So when I sing, I'll go to this place where it's more similar to when I'm doing a concert. I will not have so much of my brain in there. I'll just like warm up my voice, have a coffee, and I'll just jump in the deep end where you're more a performer. But I think more and more, ever since I got my laptop 15 years ago, probably the biggest part of me as a musician is the editor. I probably spend like 90% of my time making music editing. You know, if it's editing vocals, editing beats, editing instruments, I think that's a very big part of my work now. So that's also another side.
Who can share and who has shut down the chances?
That sentence is there and the reverb is cut there just to show, you know, what happens if you are closed. If you cut down chances, it's a certain closing a door there. And sometimes you show sonically something emotional.
Shut down the chances.
The melody is so simple and the words are so simple. I actually waited for the right microphone because it had to be really like that you hear every detail in the voice. So it's like a really high definition human that's there. After I'd written the songs and I was starting working on the beats, I met Alejandro Arca. And it was a magical relationship. And he was obviously so talented. So I decided to take a back step and for it to be a handshake between me and him. We sat next to each other and we talked about every single thing, because I'd already written all the songs. With Stone Milker, it was very obvious that that song is very simple, so we didn't really need a crazy beat thing going on. It just had to be really supportive of the song and almost acoustic, like it's a symphony orchestra playing and the beat would come from the kettle drum or something, you know, like just a very soft support, which Alejandro provided.
Thank you.
So I would sit down at a keyboard and just work out the chords. And then when I'm ready with the chord structure, because I knew it would be for strings, I would take it to violins, violas, cellos, because I kind of wanted a lot of it to be in the strings. We actually saved it till last, and I did several days of recording the strings. I had 30 players, and then I would do two sets of arrangements, so basically they are in theory 60, because it needed that sort of panoramic feeling to have that sort of smooth, cream-like perfection. For me, it was very important with Stonemilker that the strings were kind of cyclical, this chord cycle. It kind of gives you this feeling, it can go on and on in circles and gives you this feeling of equilibrium, like the person who's singing the song is showing some sort of harmony to someone as an example. I layered several recordings of the strings to be like a tower of equilibrium that you are standing in, like a monument of equilibrium. And you're standing in the middle of it and you're small and it's huge and it just goes circle and circle and you feel very safe and secure. And that's sort of the clarity that I would want to offer, try to offer emotionally in the song. And the strings are kind of the tool I have to try to make this kind of cradle. So I spent a lot of time going through all the takes and all the mics and try to make this kind of tight woven net that each string instrument was equally important because they have all these kind of sub-melodies that they would, you could hear them all, but it would still not be a solo, that it was like this balance of this kind of woven string tower that was keeping you safe. Because there was so much work and so much about the textures in the strings, I thought it deserved a version where the beats are not shadowing the string textures, that there was another version would exist, and that I would get not just the strings functioning as a whole, but also have solo violins to do more and to kind of indulge more in the microphone textures. Also, I think it's a question of like tempo. Like I feel the main version of Willni Kúrais has more drive. You know, the beats obviously give it more energy. But I felt there was another version of Willni Kúrais with just the strings where it's more slower pace, you know, more like you reading a book at home, you know, like lying outside in the moss looking at the sky. I think Stonemilker, it's a one big question, really. You're asking someone a question, suggesting something, but you don't want to push too hard, trying to, in the most harmonious way possible, trying to prove a point. So it's sort of a very gentle suggestion, because I think staying emotionally open, it's a choice, you know? I think it's equally hard for all of us, and we're just all doing our best, but I think there's also a choice, you know. Do you want to try and then maybe fail half of the time and then succeed half of the time or whatever your odds are? Or do you just, is it your choice to not even try?
And now, here's the strings version of Stonemilker in its entirety.
Juxtaposition in a mutual coordinate.
Needs, our needs, our needs, ooh.
Visit songexploder.net/Björk for more information. You can find links to buy both versions of Stone Milker and watch the music video. You'll also find a link to Sonic Symbolism, Björk's new podcast. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Lovingly dubbed The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters would spur each other on to tap into something bigger, realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter The Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboar'snest. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Lovingly dubbed The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters would spur each other on to tap into something bigger, realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter The Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboar'snest. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Lovingly dubbed The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters would spur each other on to tap into something bigger, realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter The Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboar'snest. Special thanks to the folks at MailChimp Presents and to Christian Kunz. Christian is the producer of Björk's new podcast, but for several years, he helped make Song Exploder. Actually, one of the very first things he did when he started in 2015 was transcribe the interview for this Björk episode. Song Exploder and the show's theme music were created by me. This 2022 reissue was produced by me, along with Craig Ely, with artwork by Carlos Lerma, music clearance by Kathleen Smith, and production assistance from Chloe Parker, Mary Dolan, and Nick Song. Song Exploder is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, a network of independent, listener-supported, artist-owned podcasts. You can learn more about our shows at radiotopia.fm. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram, at Rishi Hirway, and you can follow the show at Song Exploder. You can also get a Song Exploder t-shirt at songexploder.net/shirt. I'm Hrishikesh Hirway. Thanks for listening.
Radiotopia.
If you're looking for another podcast to listen to, check out Normal Gossip from Radiotopia. They're coming back for their sixth season. If you don't already know the show, they were named one of the best podcasts of the year by Time Magazine and Vulture, and their new season starts April 17th. Normal Gossip is really fun. It's a show about petty and ridiculous and strange stories and the way that we share those stories. The stories that they tell in the podcast are sent in by listeners, and then they're anonymized and then retold to a guest And then they have to weigh in on the decisions that the people in the story are making. It's very funny and very beloved. So if you aren't already listening, check out the new season, which starts April 17th. You can listen to Normal Gossip wherever you get your podcasts.